heart and show them how to do it.
Amen.
And in the days ahead, he'll bring it forth and let you know and give you a date and a time for you to show up. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's just bless him this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for the man of God as he brings the word, Father God.
Yeah.
Lord, let him hold back nothing, Lord God, but let him be designed to give us everything that you have given to him. In Jesus' name, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, whether we like it, whether we don't like it, Lord God, that it may grow us up, mature us, keep us, Lord God, and catapult us forward, that we may do all that you've called our hands, our ears, our eyes, and our hearts to do. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. I am it is January the 8th. So this message is a little late. This is the New Year's message that you were supposed to get last week, remember?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yes.
And we got, we weren't sidetracked, we were retracked to a preparatory message before this message. So we're standing inside of 2012.
Amen.
We're standing inside of 2012. And how do we fare? As we stand inside of 2012, and by the way, this is follow-up to last week. Because last week we had message number one, or the first New Year's message, and this week is the second New Year's message. So if you missed it, thank God for CDs.
Amen.
If you missed it, thank God for Bill Gates and all them guys, you know, working on that stuff. Thank God. The title of the message this morning is Make Your Way Prosperous. Make Your Way Prosperous. And it comes from Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. In Joshua, and you'll see it, you probably should see it in your bulletin. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, it reads, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." It's on your bulletin. It's also in your Bible. "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." This is the word of the Lord to Joshua. And every word of God is good. And my Bible tells me in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 that whatsoever things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. Amen?
Amen.
That they were written for our learning.
Amen.
That we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. I encourage you. I, like my wife says, I say, I urge you to the study of the scriptures. You know, I was actually thinking about that this morning, and I was thinking one of the things I wanted to say to you this morning is that we invest in things that we value. You know, we invest. You know, spending money, is an investment. I would encourage you to invest some money in a good Bible. I think that would be a really good decision to make. To invest some money, and you know, a good Bible is going to cost you some money. You know, not a $5 Bible from
Polly's.
Polly's, right, you know. You know, a good study Bible is going to cost you a couple of dollars. But it is a worthy investment. I thank God for the investment that I made in my Bible. I purchased a Thompson King James version of the Bible. And I purchased that Bible back in 1978 and used it. Used it. Pages dropping out and everything. And somebody saw it and saw me needing another Bible and purchased for me a brand new version of the same Bible. Of course, it didn't have any of my highlights in it, didn't have none of my underlinings and notes, so I had to start all over, which was great. I had to start all over filling out my Bible. Some people say, oh, you can't write that. The Bible's holy. Don't write it. Bible is holy. You need to write in it. You need to underline.
Amen.
Make notes about things God's saying to you. Need to.
Amen.
I want to encourage you to get a good Bible. And I remember in the old days we used to buy these big, in fact I used to sell them, these big Bibles. Big, coffee table Bibles, yeah. Coffee table Bibles. Every time you want to read it, you got to dust it off first. Because nobody opens it, just for the coffee table. But I'm talking about a Bible that you actually read. You know, I was watching Tim Tebow a couple of weeks ago. Tim Tebow is a football player. Do you know who he is? Plays for the Denver Broncos. Quarterback for the Denver Broncos. And it was what was interesting to me. Then they, you know, he's a very high profile player and he's a rookie this season. What was very interesting to me was that they were displaying, you know, because there's been a lot of controversy about him because he always prays. He always prays. He's always getting on his knees and giving glory to God, you know. And sometimes he'd be winning games that it looked like they should have lost, and they what's going on here? That team should have lost. Three touchdowns behind in the fourth quarter, 5 minutes left, and they won. You know, and you know, and Tim Tebow says, you know, thank God, you know. And I was in what interested me about the profile that I saw on television about Tim Tebow is that everywhere he went, he had this football and he'd be carrying it. I can't throw this, but he'd be throwing it up and down and throwing it one hand, catching it, throwing it, catching it behind, you know, the football. You know, everywhere he went, if he was in a room with somebody, he'd throw it across the room, the other person would throw it back, and he was just handling the tool of his trade.
Yes, yes.
To become very familiar with the tool of his trade, which is a football. Something that gives life, gives expression to his life. And it's a football, and he just handles it. And he manipulates it. And he squeezes it. You know, and if he's going up to the bathroom, he takes the football with him. If he's watching television, he's got the football in his hand. And everything I watch on television sets me to thinking. Because everything that happens in my life sets me to thinking.
That's right.
And set me to thinking about my Bible. And how God told me several years ago, he told me, filter everything through the Word of God.
Hey.
Filter everything through the Word of God. Every decision you make, every thought, everything you want to say, every conversation you have, filter it through the Word. Every relationship you have. You know, we filtered every relationship through the Word. Some of the relationships we have, we wouldn't have.
That's right.
If we filtered everything we say through the Word of God, some of the things we say, we wouldn't say.
Amen.
If we filtered our thoughts, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you know, to bring every thought captive to the obedience to the knowledge of God. What's the knowledge of God? His Word. We handle this Word the way Tim Tebow handles a football, the tool of his trade. This is, we're Christians, right? We're Christians, right?
Yes, we are.
We are, right? Yeah. We believe in God. We believe in the salvation through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We believe in the power of the Spirit. We believe in the infilling and the indwelling of the Spirit of God. We believe in divine healing by the power of God. This is the tool of that trade. This is it. You know, you can walk, you can stick it in your purse, you can throw it up the back of your car, you can, you know, have it in the trunk, you can do a whole lot of things with it. But what I'm encouraging you to do is to, like, read it. You know, just encouraging that you read it, that you actually read it, you know. Couple of weeks ago, we were talking about methods of Bible study, and I was just kind of giving some of mine. I want to do it again. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it. You know that, right? One of mine is word studies. When I have a question about a particular subject or issue or decision or whatever, I just look up all them words in the Bible. I just look them up. You know, find every time in the Bible this particular word shows up. You know? It requires some time. You may have to cut off one of your television shows to do that. It does require an investment. But the payoff is bad, I'm telling you.
Yes.
The payoff is powerful. It does require some time. You know, we got all of these tools. You know, we look back at Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joshua and Daniel. You know, they have no electron. They have no Bill Gates Bible, you know, where you can go into the computer and search out everything. They had to actually pull out this scroll and go through the whole scroll to find what they're looking for. It wouldn't on that one, so they got to roll that one up and put it away and get the next scroll. And you can just hit a couple of buttons and have every single scripture on your computer screen about a subject in a couple of seconds.
Uh-huh.
And you won't do it. We have an opportunity in our midst today to know the Word of God. We have an opportunity with the tools that are available to us today. You know, we have the Bible in multiple translations. We got a parallel version of the Bible. We got one version here, one version there, another version there. You can look at it. What's God saying? People don't know how to live, and they got so much instruction right before their eyes. They don't know how to live, though. Don't know how to live because we're not searching it out.
Jesus.
Word of God is before you and it is very plain. God's wisdom and instruction is not difficult. It's not hard to understand. It's not hard to apply in your life. It is very, very simple. Line upon line and precept upon precept. You find here a little, you find there a little. Not only do we have the Word of God, but we have the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Brings this Word alive.
Yes.
You don't even have to always know where everything is. The Holy Spirit will guide you right to it.
Yes.
Right to it. He'll bring people into your lives that will speak unto you the Word of God.
Yes.
Mommy was sitting at the dining room table, didn't even know it. And she quoted, didn't know that today's text of today's message was going to be 1 Joshua in chapter 8. You didn't know it at the time, did you? But that's what you quoted, isn't it? I said, yeah, there you go, Holy Spirit. I hear you. Mother Anna's talking about the 3 days. You go to Joshua chapter 3.
Yeah.
you'll see. You'll go to Joshua chapter 2. You'll see that the spies, remember that Joshua said, this is the chapter right after chapter 1. You'll see that the spies had to stay in the mountains for three days.
That's right.
And then they can come out because the pursuers were hunting them down. Then you can come out and go on back to Joshua and tell him what you saw in Jericho.
That's right.
And then you go to chapter 3 and you'll see where Joshua said, sanctify yourself, because in 3 days we go in again.
Separate yourself.
Jesus.
Whoop, Jesus.
We're going in. Today's message is about going in. That's what the message is about today. Going in. It's 2012. How do you fare? It's 2012. You know, we might look back at 2011 and say, you know, I failed in this particular area. You know, the money was kind of funny. You know, we had some problems on my job. You know, my relationships ain't going too well. You know, I got a bunch of, you know, situations going on with the kids. I got this, I got that, I got this problem, I got that problem. You know, 2011, somebody said the best thing about 2012 is that it's not 2011. 2011 is over. Bad economy, bad politics going on. You know, they're trying to raise your taxes. The budgeting, their budgeting balance and your budgeting balance either. You know, they've got a whole lot more money that's not balanced than we got, you know. But it's 2012. And you can look at 2012 and think about all of the problems of 2011. Or you can look at 2012 and say, God, we're standing on the brink of a new year. We're standing on the brink of new opportunity. What would you have us do?
Lord Jesus.
What would you have us do? You go to Joshua chapter 1 and you look right there in verse 1. You look right there in verse 1 of those early verses. God says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. 2011 is dead. It's done. Whatever you were supposed to do that you didn't do, didn't get done. Whatever Moses failed at, because you know the story of Moses, he had some failures too, you know. But he was a great leader in 2011. Some good things happened in 2011, but we had some, you know, some mess ups too, you know. To be brutally honest, you know. Moses, my servant, is dead. I particularly was interested. The Bible tells you in verse 1 of Joshua 1 that the Lord spake unto Joshua. The Lord spake. Joshua didn't have to think it up, you know, try to figure it out. We got all these people here. We got all these problems. You know, we're stuck on the wrong side of Jordan. We got all of these kings over there, and the property that we supposed to be getting is over there, but we over here. He didn't have to think it up. God spoke to him. God speaks to you through his word. He speaks to you by his spirit, and he speaks to you through men and women that he puts into your life. God speaks. Yes, he does. God said to Moses, God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. And the very next word he said to Joshua is now. Now. As you stand at the brink of 2012, now therefore. Now go. As you stand at the brink of 2012, it's up to you now, because 2011 is gone. Mm-hmm. Now. And God said to Joshua, we were talking last night, if you look at this verse, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. And the implied subject is you. Doesn't say you, it just says, now, therefore, arise. But it's implied you. Who, me? Not Gideon. You know, talking to me, not me. You arise. Uh-huh. And see, you have an opportunity now. So you see, right now, you have an opportunity right now to travel a path that you've never traveled before. You have an opportunity right now to meet situations that you've never met a 2012 before, have you? Mm-hmm. Never seen a 2012. You've seen 2008, 9, and 10, and 11, but you've never seen a 2012. You have an opportunity here. You have an opportunity to do things that you've never done before.
Amen.
And you, but you must go now. You must go now. You must arise to a place that you've never risen to before. You must arise. I remember a few years ago, the Lord said to me, stand up and step forth. So often when accountability and responsibility comes, we back up. When the call comes to take responsibility, you can't. You remember Saul, when they were calling for Saul, the Bible says he was hiding behind the stuff, behind all the baggage and stuff. They were trying to make him king, and he was like, who, me? Not me. King, no. He was hiding. And so often, that's what we do. I ain't signed up for that. We be backing up. Sometimes you be talking to people and they might be standing still, but you can see them backing up in their mind. You can see them backing up in their mind. God said, to be responsible, you have to get up, arise, and step forward. Because responsible. See, responsible means that you have a chance to make a difference.
Yes.
See, the opposite of responsible is, you might say, irresponsible. You know, the opposite of responsible is irresponsible. Could be. Another opposite to responsible is victim. Another opposite of responsible is victim. I'm not responsible. They did it to me. Well, my life can't never get any better because they won't let it. Well, if only my husband would. I'm a victim. The responsible says, it doesn't matter what they say, what they're doing. I'm going to live for God. It doesn't matter. That's responsible. See, if you're a victim, what your heart hears, if you're a victim, what your heart hears is that you can't do nothing about it. Mm-hmm. You may as well just take it, because you can't just sit down and shut up, back up, go hide somewhere, because you can't do nothing about it. Responsible says, it don't matter.
That's right.
I'm standing at the Jordan River, and I'm going to stick my foot out and cross.
Amen.
The crossing of the Jordan River is a choice.
Yes, it is.
It's a choice that you make. as you stand at the brink. You see, some people will confine their lives to repeat 2011.
Yes.
You know, it's 2012, but they'll just repeat 2011. They'll just do the same thing they did last year. Nothing different. I'm calling you now to stand up.
Amen.
And step forth.
Amen.
Decisions have to be made. That's children's right. lives are at stake.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
And
you know, one of the greatest revelations that God showed to me is that it's not just about you.
No, that's right.
One of the greatest revelations God gave to me is when He showed me the scripture in Hebrews 12 and verse 15, where it says that you have to beware lest a root of bitterness springing up trouble you and many be defiled.
Yes.
That root of bitterness springs up and troubles you. And your children are affected. Your wife or your husband's affected. Mama, daddy, the people at work, your neighbors, everybody is affected because of a root of bitterness springing up, troubling you.
Thank you. It's all behind you. It's all behind you.
2012 requires that you stand up.
Yes.
And step forward. You must arise. You must arise. The next thing that God told Joshua was to go over this Jordan. Like, where's the bridge? You got a bridge here for me to go over? And where's the boats or something? Go. There is no such thing as an obstacle or an impediment when God gives you a command.
Oh, Jesus.
Glory.
That's right.
It might be waters there. There may be obstacles there. But when God commands you to go, you must go. Well, you have a choice. You have a choice. You do. You have a choice. But I urge you to go. Go over this Jordan. I want to come back to Jordan. Jordan's a river that you've never crossed before. Never crossed it before. God told Joshua, take with you people.
Amen.
Because see, you've got a chance to take and lead people that you've never led before.
That's right.
You've always been in the background.
That's right.
And now God, because Joshua was in the background of Moses.
That's right.
He was Moses' minister, the Bible
That's
tells
right.
us, right?
That's right, his adjutant.
But now God says to Joshua, you go over and you take people with you. You go over and you taking people with you. You hear me? You're taking people with you. People's lives are dependent on you. You know it, don't you? Yeah, lives are dependent on you.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Lives are dependent on you. You had failures in your life in some areas. Never been successful in those areas. Never. It's always ended up to be the same thing. Now, there's victory. Victory is on the horizon for you. This is 2012. This is not another 2011. This is 2012. We're going over.
Amen.
To the other side. God said to Joshua, the land that I do give unto them. Go over this Jordan. Let me tell you about the Jordan River. I want to tell you. Let me tell you about the Jordan River. The Jordan River begins, and see, this is why you also should have a good Bible, because in the back of a good Bible, they have maps. They have maps in the back of a good Bible. Good maps, too, you know. And so one of the things that I practice doing is when I'm reading about places, I go map them out. I remember when I was studying about, the Shunammite woman, and her little boy died, and she got on her camel, or donkey, or whatever it was, and she said to her servant, "Go forward and slack not."
Right.
Because the prophet had left town and he was in another city, and she's in, I'm hightailing over to where he's at because my little boy died, and I got to go get my little boy back. So I got to go get to the prophet. Some people got cars and they won't even get in their car and drive to church. She on a donkey.
Jesus.
You know what I'm saying? She on a donkey, and if I recollect right, I think it was like 30 miles or something like that. 30 or 60 miles. She was going to Mount Carmel. She was going to Mount Carmel from over here somewhere. Yeah, it looks like 30 plus miles. Okay, on donkey. 30 miles is like going from here to D.C., isn't it? Only thing, they didn't have no 95 back then, you know, he had no 95, you know, just get on the donkey and go down 95, you know, anyway, you're talking about, okay? So I like to go, and a good Bible with good maps always has like a little mileage calculator down at the bottom, so you can like put your ruler there and go measure it and see how long, approximately how long it is, okay? So if you look at the Jordan, I'm telling you all that, because if you look at the Jordan River in the back of your good Bible, you'll see that the Jordan River runs all the way from the top where Mount Hermon is at, and it's being fed by like tributaries from Mount Hermon and some other mountains. Mount Hermon's about 9,000 feet in the air at its peak, snow-capped peaks. And so these tributaries, snow melting, and those water winds its way down. The interesting thing about the River Jordan is that it runs about 100 miles down. It runs about 100 miles down. And when you consider, the mountains, you're going to have a steep drop from the mountains. But even the drop from the bottom of the mountain down to where it pours down into the Dead Sea is about a 2,800 foot drop. So it's a steep descent. It's rushing waters. You remember when Naaman the leper, when the prophet sent him to Jordan to wash in the River Jordan, I don't want to go there. Well, these are rushing waters, so rushing waters are going to be muddier than a nice, quiet stream, And so he said, I won't go in there more dirty waters. Well, they were rushing waters because they're rushing down. Another interesting thing about the Jordan is that although it's about 100 miles in distance from top to bottom, if you actually travel along the banks of the Jordan, it's actually about 200 miles. Because it went, so it's not only steep and deep, it's wide.
I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens heaven's gate, set the captives free. Oh, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well.
Within my
make me whole.
up, oh well. Say spring up.
Spring up
to me. There's life abundantly. That was spontaneous. Spring up, oh well. Just say spring up.
Spring up.
Spring up, oh well. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Spring up, oh well.
Spring up.
Spring up. Go over this Jordan deep and wide. You know, the interesting thing I thought about this distance and this width and breadth is the opportunity we have to reach deep down inside and forgive.
Yes.
You know,
Lord, thank you,
that steep descent of the River Jordan, reach deep inside,
yes,
and let them go. We call it giving them a gift they don't deserve. Because yeah, they did that. They sure did. They did it. They did the thing that they did. It was a bad thing that they did. They really, really hurt me. Give them the gift they don't deserve.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. If you've received salvation in the name of Jesus, you have received the gift.
Amen.
That you don't deserve.
That's right.
If you've received salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've received salvation in Jesus' name, and if you've received the gift that you don't deserve,
thank you, Lord,
then you have within your possession.
Jesus.
You have it.
Jesus.
To give.
Yes.
Amen.
You have it.
Amen.
Because you've received,
amen,
the outpouring,
amen,
of the gift of God.
Amen.
So if you have it,
thank you,
the
Lord,
only decision you have to make is, will you give it away? Well, let me tell you something I found out. That when you give it away, you get more. Isn't that right? It's not like how it works. And see, spiritual things work in a lot of ways. Some they work like natural things. But in some ways, spiritual things don't work like natural things. Because spiritual things, when you give away love, you get more. You don't get a deficit. You know? You don't get a deficit. Because what did Jesus say? He that hath shall receive more. Okay? More shall be given. And so when you give love, you receive more.
That's right.
Okay? When you give forgiveness,
amen,
you know?
Amen.
God gave you forgiveness. The only choice you got to make is to give it away.
Amen.
Okay? Now, you can say, well, they don't deserve my forgiveness. Has anybody ever deserved forgiveness?
No.
Did you deserve it?
No.
Okay. It's pretty much a simple matter of making a choice. It's a choice. It's very simple. God chose to forgive me.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And I chose to forgive anybody. Anybody.
Amen.
That hurts me. I choose.
Amen.
I choose to live like this.
Amen.
See, it's a choice.
Amen.
I choose to live like this.
Amen.
You know why I choose to live like this? Because this is the godly way to live.
Amen.
You see? Anything else is make believe.
That's right.
It's make believe. It's phony. It's hypocritical,
right,
to say that you've received salvation in Jesus' name, but that you don't want to give away forgiveness to somebody else. That you gotta watch out. I'm gonna ask you, are you saved?
I know that's right.
I'm gonna ask you, are you really saved? You better check it out.
Uh-oh.
Check it out. See if you're really saved. See, you might not be saved.
Might not be.
See, you might be just hanging around church. A lot of people hang around church.
Come on.
You know, a lot of people hang around church. They fans. Everybody that goes to the football stadium, they football players. Some are fans. Some are fans. You know, they like it. They like it. They like this stuff. You know? We're talking about getting on the field. And this is where it happens. This is where it happens, for real. When you get on the field. And that person steps on your toe like I just did Alex's.
You want to forgive me, bro?
Thank you, bro. That's when it really, that's when Christianity really, you know, rose. You get the best smelling of the rose when you crush it.
Crush it, that's right.
What really comes out? The fragrance. It don't matter what they do. It don't matter what they do. I'm off message now. I'm right on target, though. Right on target. It don't matter what they do. The real question is, what's going on with you?
Amen.
Okay? That's the real deal. What's going on with you?
Amen.
Have you really received of this thing called salvation?
Amen.
Have you really received this anointing and this power and the Spirit of God that allows you to do the very thing that you can't do of yourself?
Amen.
See, if it's all about what you can do, then we don't really need no God. Because you can do it.
Well,
and what we're talking about is, what can God do in you and through you? First, you got to let Him do it in you.
That's right.
You got to let Him.
Amen.
That requires willingness.
Yeah.
That requires willingness. You've got to be willing. And sometimes people are so stubborn and resistant that they won't be willing. They'll be a fan, but they ain't gonna get on the field. You know how bad she hurt me? I'll never be outside of the realm of salvation. When you'll never. You're outside. So let's be willing. Are we willing?
Yes.
God, do a work in me. Do a work in me that allows me to be able to come to the place of absolute, complete, and whole forgiveness. Do a work in me. This is one of the sitfus. Anybody remember what the sitfus are? Yeah. It had to be in Bible study. Okay, come on, sit foods, spiritual, interrelated. P, come on. Principles. That are
forgiven.
No, that are
foundational
and universal. If you were in here, something we made up in Bible study, okay? We made it up. We made it up in Bible study the other day. Spiritual interrelated principles that are foundational and universal. And forgiveness is one of them. Forgiveness is one of them. Well, repentance is one of them. You know, like, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, right? So, if you don't have repentance, you don't have a heart of repentance, you're not even on the roster, not to mention in the game. You're not even on the roster. The spiritual interrelated principles that are foundational and universal. Probably a lot of redundancy in that, but that's what I got, so that's what I'm giving you. Let's get back to the Jordan River. Let's get back to the Jordan River, okay? You there? Can you see yourself standing on the brink of 2012? Standing on the brink of the river? Are we together?
Amen.
Let's get back to the Jordan River. We've taken care of that matter. Okay. Now look for opportunities for God to bring you to repentance and forgiveness. Because the first step is, we got to repent for our hardness of heart. If you had unforgiveness in your heart and you were trying to make up some excuse for why you're not going to forgive that person, you have to repent. Mm-hmm. That's the first step. Okay, so we just covered that, didn't we? When we gave ourselves over to the Lord a few minutes ago,
Amen.
And we said, Lord, make us willing to be willing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, forgive us for
Amen.
The sin of unforgiveness.
Yeah.
Forgive us. And give us the capacity inside, deep, to forgive from our whole hearts. Amen?
Amen.
That's an important area to cover. Weren't on my list, but it's important to cover. So the Jordan River is deep and wide. I told you that its actual length is about 200 miles, even though it's only 100 miles from start to finish. The Jordan River plays a significant role in the Bible. Throughout the Bible, from the old days even to the most recent days, even from really Genesis to Revelation, the Jordan River has played a role in the Bible. You remember that John the Baptist was baptizing people with River Jordan. So the Jordan River is a point of repentance. Okay, because his baptism was a baptism of repentance, right? And so the Jordan River that we're talking about here, standing on the brink of 2012, is a point of repentance. Forgive us, Lord, for the sins of the past, the sins of our fathers and parents, our families that have gone before us, our culture, our neighborhood, our prejudice, our stealing, our lying. Forgive us for our sin. Forgive us. The Jordan River is a point of repentance. It was also the place where Jesus was baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And where Jesus was baptized and he walked up out of the Jordan River into the approval of his Father.
Yes.
It was a point of preparation for ministry and approval by God himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, it is a point of preparation mm-hmm. and a point of approval. And we're standing right here, right now.
That's right. Amen.
And I can tell you unequivocally, if you're hearing these words and you're allowing these words to enter into your heart, you are at a point of preparation.
Amen.
And you are at a point of approval before God.
Amen.
Just like Jesus. We're standing at the brink of Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
The Jordan River was also the place at the ford of one of the fords of the Jordan where Jacob wrestled with the angel. He wrestled. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go. And he got knocked on the knee, hurt him a little bit, so he let go. But Jacob, scheming, shriveling Jacob, always trying to cheat somebody up out of something. Had his point of repentance there, and was at the point that I call the point of cry out.
Yeah.
I don't find it in the Bible written like that. But I find it all over the Bible where people came to a point of cry out. Jacob came to that point, the cry out point, where he says, I'm not doing this no more. It's over. My past sins, my past life is over. I'm at the brink of Jordan and I'm going over. And some of you must also come to that point. 2012 is not going to be like 2011. We're going over. We're going over. Point of cry out. Jordan River was also a place where Abraham, you remember Abraham and Lot, and they both of them were growing in cattle and people, and their cattle was getting mixed up, and so Abraham gave Lot a choice. It's a decision point.
Mm-hmm.
Lot chose east of the River Jordan. He chose to hang out in Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham had the promised land. Yeah. East of the Jordan looked better at the time. It wasn't what God promised, but it looked better. you will meet occasions and situations in your life that look better than the promise. They look better. Look easier. Look better. Look more fruitful. Look more prosperous. You know? Maybe if I do this, everything will be all right. The promise is the promise. The promise is always the best way. What God promises, what God points to is always best. But Lot, at a point of decision, chose the easy way. You know the rest of the story, right? You know the rest of Lot's story. Sodom and Gomorrah, and people was after him and his family, and you know the story. Sodom and the River Jordan was also Elijah, Prophet Elijah and Prophet Elisha. Much of their ministry happened up and down the Jordan River, and a lot of their ministry involved miracles. Miracles, healings. The Jordan River is a miracle point in your life today. Yes. It's a miracle point. Yes. And my final illustration is the one we're on in Joshua. Because the Jordan River is also the crossover point. And you are at the crossover point for your River Jordan right now. Well, what happens if you don't cross over Jordan? What happens? Well, you could be like Lot and stay on the east side of Jordan, messing with the Sodomites and them, you know, and having to be forced out at some point, and you know, fire come down from heaven. And whenever we don't cross over that Jordan, there is a certain fire in our lives. There are problems, there are trials, there are difficulties, because we have not crossed over at the time and at the place that God intended for us to cross over. So there will be fires. Well, the other thing that might happen, if you look at the map in the back of your Bible, you'll see that if you don't cross over Jordan, you might just get washed down into the Dead Sea. I wouldn't risk it. Dead Sea, salt mines. I was looking at some pictures of people swimming in the Red Sea. They weren't actually swimming. They were almost like sitting on top of it. There's so much, the salt content is so high that you pretty much, you don't even have to try to float. You're almost sitting up in the water. Because the salt, you know, the saline content is so high. Nothing grows. There's no crops. There's no trees. There's no shrubbery. Not even weeds grow. It's a barren land. Salted land. Salt, you know, when the water washes up on the rocks and dries, it's just salt and caked salt and more salt and more salt. But even if you get stuck on the wrong side with Lot, God sends messengers after you. God went through an elaborate process to go get Lot.
Yes.
Do you remember the story?
Yes.
He chose to be there. He could have left him.
Yeah.
But he went through an elaborate process to go get Lot. Typifying what Jesus did.
Wow.
He didn't have to go send the angels, Abraham bargaining and negotiating for Lot's life. That's what Abraham was negotiating for Lot. See, you're going to destroy them all? You know, what is there 50? What if there's 40? What if there's 20? What if there's just like 10?
Right.
He was bargaining for his nephew's life. So even if you get stuck on the wrong side of Jordan, There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. Unless you just lock yourself in Sodom and Gomorrah and don't answer the door when the angels knock on the door. Well, even if you get washed in the Dead Sea. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel 47 that there's a river that flows from the throne of God and it flows down into the Dead Sea, and that everything the river touches lives. Everything the river touches lives.
Thank you, Jesus.
You could still have life.
Thank you, Lord.
Even in the Dead Sea.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
How do we cross over the River Jordan? Let's go back to our text, to Joshua chapter 1. So remember, this is 2012, and we're looking at the text in Joshua chapter 1. And we do recognize that this word was written for our learning, and we do want to make our way prosperous, don't we?
Yeah.
We want to make our way prosperous. I mean, do you know anybody that says, you know, I think I want to fail this year? I want to lose some money. I want to fail. I want to get divorced. I want to, you know, lose my job. I think I want to just fail this year. Nobody, right? Want to be? Do you know what prosperous means? Prosperous means to push forward and break out. To push forward
and break out.
And break out.
Oh my God.
You don't want to be stuck in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
You want to push forward and break out.
Yes.
When you look at crossing the Jordan in this time back with Joshua and the children of Israel, the intent was not to cross over the River Jordan and just sit there. They were to push forward and break out. Take over the land.
Amen.
Some of you got prosperity in your future. A pushing forward.
Amen.
And a breaking out.
Amen.
You want to push forward in your family relationships.
Amen.
You don't want to have the same old arguments you had in 2011.
Amen.
You want to push forward.
Amen.
On your job. And break out.
Mm-hmm.
That promotion may be coming this year.
Amen.
You want to break out.
Amen.
You want to be able to push forward in your finances. Push forward and break out.
Amen.
You know, like your bank balance might be able to push forward.
Amen.
And break out. Amen.
Amen.
We have children. We're concerned about their discipline and their raising. We want to push forward in that area and break out. We want to see them finally, you're finally getting it. You know, yeah, I see you're getting it. You know, you cleaned up your room by yourself. You're pushing forward and bring it out. I ain't got to tell you every week, clean up your room. Do your homework. You know, stop fighting with your brother. You know, it's like push forward and bring it out. You want to see those kinds of things taking place in your life.
That's
right. In your health.
Amen.
You want to push forward and break out.
Amen.
Not that either. You want to be breaking out with health.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
I used to run a mile a week. Now I'm running 3 miles.
Amen.
I used to not run at all, and now at least I'm walking. You know? You want to push forward and break out. That's what prosperity. To prosper. And the interesting thing about this text, and of course I'm looking at verse 8, the interesting thing about this section of the text in verse 8, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. I looked it up. that you shall make your way prosperous. The tense of the sentence is in the causative. You shall cause yourself to be prosperous. There are certain things that we do. There are certain ways and attitudes that we have that cause us to be a failure. They cause it. There is a certain way. You know, the Bible tells us very clearly in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. You ought to know it by now. God has a way, and I got a way, and they so far apart, they like heaven from heaven to the earth. God's way and my way. My way brings about failure, and God's way brings about push forward and breakout.
Amen. Amen.
God's got a way. And when we organize ourselves, when we get a nice Bible and start reading it, you know, so that we can start, you know, one of the things that I've seen is that when you start hearing the ways of God, they don't sound anything like what you usually hear. They don't. What do people them tell you? The people them tell you, good, chuck, chuck, I won't fix him no dinner either. Yeah, if you say that to me, I will fix him no dinner either. You better not come up here looking for nothing from me. See, but the word of God would tell you, no, fix him a nice dinner.
That's right.
Fix him a nice dinner, yeah. Yeah, you bring out the fine napkins. You know, and them glass, what you call them glass, the flutes. You know, stuff he never gets to drink out of. You know, bring out the flutes. And the garments and all the things you all have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what the word of God would tell you. I mean, it don't say that in the word, but this is the behavior of the saved.
Amen.
You see? The saved people don't operate their lives based on what you do unto them. They operate their lives based on what God is doing to them.
Amen.
That's how the saved operate. You know? So therefore, we practice righteousness for righteousness' sake.
Amen.
You see? We don't practice tit for tat.
No, we don't.
Did that to me? I'm going to do that to him. We practice righteousness for the... You know, I have decided in my mind that I'm going to live a righteous life.
Amen.
Before God.
That's right.
And so therefore, it doesn't matter what they do to me. I'm going to treat them the way God tells me to treat them, no matter how they treat me back.
Amen.
The Bible tells us very clearly that it may be that you'll heap coals of love in hot fire upon their heads. And most of the time, you think the coals of hot fire is to burn them up.
No.
Get them, Lord! It's not what it is at all. It's not what it is at all. The coals of fire is the warmth and the love that you're giving to them.
Yes.
That burns their heart with repentance. And why did I do that to her?
Praise God.
Why did I do that to that child? Let me change my ways. Please forgive me.
Amen.
Please forgive me. But, you know, we decide that we're going to give mean for mean. We're going to give meanness for meanness. You know? So, if she's sowing meanness and you sowing meanness, what you going to have? You're going to have a whole crop of meanness. You know? The farmer said, I sowed good seed. The enemy must have sowed tears. The farmer don't sow tears in his field. He sows good seed. Okay? So you don't sow tears. You sow love, compassion, The reason why he treats you like that? Because he's hurt in his heart. That's why. He's in pain in his heart. He don't need more pain. He needs the love of God that's shed abroad in your heart and is overflowing by the Holy Ghost. That'll help soothe all them pains, all that anger, all that misery that's going on deep down in there. But if he got it, and of course the Bible tells us in Hebrews, I told you already, that if that root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and it, but if it's troubling him and affecting you, or troubling her and affecting you, everybody's defiled. But that's not what my Bible tells me the way it is supposed to be with us. My Bible tells me that where I go, I must be the righteous consciousness of God in that presence.
Yes. Thank you.
You don't see God running around slapping people. You know, people do something wrong and they watch you see if a lightning bolt's coming. No. Because God has mercy.
Yes,
mercy. There is a judgment day. Because at some point this whole deal is going to be over and we move on to the real other side of Jordan, the real Jordan. Right? But if God just went around smacking people every time they did something wrong, we would be like not here. Be in the ground. God is calling us to peace. So you must bring the peace. You must bring peace. You must bring love. You must bring compassion. You must bring repentance. You're it. If you cut the fool, what you got? Two fools. How do we cross this Jordan? How do we push forward and break out and have good? I love the word of God. Good success, not just success.
Good
success.
I know that's
good success. How do you push forward and break out? Make thy way prosperous. Thou shalt have, and that thou shalt have good success. That's in the causative sense. Thou shalt cause thyself to have good success. How do you do this thing? You in?
Yeah.
You in?
Amen.
You in?
Amen.
You in?
Amen.
You in? You in? You in? Okay, we're all in it together then.
Amen.
Gotta look out for one another then, okay?
Amen.
How do we cross over? First of all, let me tell you this. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. God says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread. Every place. This is the promise. This is the promise. The place. Okay? There are places in your life. Yeah. Just like God told the children of Israel, I got a place for you.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to be my people and I don't know where you're going to live. You know, we take you out of Egypt, but I don't know where you're going. You're just wondering. He had a place for him to go to. You got a place. You know, you got a place. I believe very squarely, very surely, that God has a place for every single one. He's got a place for you. Got a place for you. There are certain places you can be that can be more fruitful than others, because some places is the place you're supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? That's where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
I'm talking about physical, geographical place on the earth.
Yeah.
Oh. Some people are in the wrong place and nothing ever happens right because they're in the wrong place.
Amen.
And so there's a promise about a place, okay? And there are people, let me finish reading verse. Okay, for every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. He ain't backing off of his promise, okay? From the wilderness And this Lebanon, then he defines it in geographical terms. Let's go to verse 5. So number 1 is the promise of a place. Number 2 is about people in position. Okay? And look at verse 5, the first part of verse 5. There shall not be any man, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. There shall not any man be able to stand. So there will be people who will come up and stand there, take a position, a stationary position in front of you to block you from what God called you to do. There will be some people that are going to do that. But God says they ain't going to be able to stand. But if you look at them, they start backing up. You see what I'm saying? Now, some of them people could be these same kinds of situations we're talking about. Fear, you know, they're beings. Fear is a being. Did you know fear was a being?
Yes.
The Bible says God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. Spirits are beings. So sometimes the being called fear comes and stands right up in front of you. Don't you take another step because I'm fear. You can't get around me. You know what you're supposed to do? Keep walking. Because fear will just fade away. You keep walking. Another one of them, this whole unforgiveness issue. You start talking to your girls about what he did. You know, you start talking to the girls and they start giving you their advice. Their vice, not advice, their vice. They start giving you their vice. Right? And next thing you know, you can't do the word of God because you got the word of the vice of your friends. I've seen it. I've seen people who want to do right, but they can't do what they know to do because they don't been talking to their public. And they don't, you know, run their mouth off with their public. And I never getting back with him. And I never what he did. And well, now that they've publicly said that to their public, they're hesitant now to go back and do what they should do. The man's repented. He got himself back together. And he goes blah, 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 blah. And he tried, you on his knees, snotting and crying, and you can't go back to him because then what would it look like to the girls? Keep your mouth shut. Talk to God.
Amen.
And a godly man and woman. That's who you should be talking to. He's going to tell you right. Because a godly man or woman would tell you, you know, if he ain't hitting you or nothing, you know, because I ain't sending nobody back to no hitter. If he hitting, he better not watch out because I might hit him back. No hitting. Okay? No hittings in this story. I'm not talking about hitting. Because if somebody's hitting, then you know, then I'm saying stay away from them. There ain't no need to be hit. Okay, put yourself in a place where you're being hit. If he's being honest and you know repentant, and he or she, because some of these girls are hitters too, you know. You know, if he or she are being honest and repentant, and you know, really allowing the Spirit of God to you know, convict them of wrongdoing, you know, and are operating in you know, love and compassion and forgiveness and, you know, repentance themselves and restitution, you know, then, you know, you can start looking toward each other. And I say looking to, I'm not saying you got to go hop back into bed. I'm saying just start looking toward each other. Sometimes people hop back too quick. Ain't nothing changed. You know, so start walking toward each other. Rebuild a relationship first.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Rebuild a relationship. Hop back in the bed, you still don't have no relationship. Back to hitting or whatever, you know. Arguing, fussing. So, first of all, I said it's what? It's the promise of a place. Second of all, it's the people in position. You know, and those people could be, like I'm saying, spiritual beings, spiritual ideas, rebellion, resistance. You know what I'm saying? To do the things of God. And that could get in the way. But you've got to decide to believe God. Amen?
Amen.
And not one of them shall stand is what God says to us. And then God says at the end of verse 5, he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, as I was with Moses. So we're talking now about the power of the presence. Okay? We're talking about the power of the presence of God.
Yeah.
You see? So you've got to decide whether you value the presence of God. Now we're back to, you know, your devotional life and your study of the word and your prayer life, you know, your church attendance. You know what I'm saying? We're back to those kinds of things because we're talking about how do I value the presence of God? How do I value the word of God? You know, because if you're not getting it, then you really ain't going to have much of a shot of making right decisions.
No.
You see what I'm saying? I can kind of see why some people make the right decisions sometimes and make the wrong decisions sometimes. They make the right decisions sometimes and they make the wrong decisions sometimes. You know why? Because they come to church sometimes and they don't come to church sometimes. They read the Bible sometimes and don't read the Bible sometimes. They got a shot. You know what I'm saying? They, you know, you can't, you know, you can't, you can't, you know, it's like, you know, I'm going to put gas in my car this week, but I'm not putting no gas in my car next week.
Well, you
ain't going. You're gonna run out of gas. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it don't make no sense. You know, this is the gas of your car. This is it.
That's right.
Amen.
You miss it, you're walking.
Amen.
Verse, still on verse 5, God says, I'll be with you. That's the power of his presence. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I will not fail thee or forsake thee. God is your protector.
Yes, he is.
He's a passionate protector.
Yes,
he is.
I will not fail thee or forsake thee. He's going to be there.
Amen.
When you start, when you get started walking in these spiritual principles that we're talking about, these spiritual integrated principles that are foundational and universal, these spiritual principles are powerful.
Yes.
I say it over and over and over again when a person actually does say, you know what, I'm going to do it. When a person actually says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to love. I'm going to have compassion. I'm going to have mercy. I could have knocked inside his head, but I'm going to have mercy on him. I'm going to forgive him. For real, for real, for real. When a person starts walking in forgiveness and walking in love, walking in compassion, walking in mercy, you can start to see the breakout.
Amen.
You can see the push forward breakout. Things start changing in lives. I've seen it to where when a person isolated all of their own makes a decision to love and to have compassion and to have mercy and to have forgiveness on somebody that was obviously wrong. The other person way over somewhere else, I've seen the other person change. The other person change. You know why? Because God's principles work, and when this person changed, this is the person that did the wrong was done to. When this person changes and releases the forgiveness to that person, it actually goes over there.
Yes.
And arrest.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
But as long as this person over here, see, it's spiritual, because it's nothing you say, nothing you're doing. It's spiritual. And this person, they know they did wrong. They want to repent, but they don't know how to repent. And you over here got a spirit of unforgiveness, and you might be around them all the time, but you got a spirit of unforgiveness, and their spirit feels your spirit.
Yes.
Don't you remember when Mary walked up into Elizabeth's house, the babe in her womb left?
Jesus.
Spirits.
Woo. Jesus, my God.
So let me tell you something. If you ain't doing this right, if you ain't doing it, you know,
Jesus,
you're gonna see that it's not gonna be happening.
Amen.
You start doing it for real.
I know that's right. You're gonna see something.
Really releasing the person that's hurt you. Really releasing them. Really blessing them. From the bottom of your heart.
You don't know how much power you got. You don't know.
And you start seeing hearts melting around you.
People confessing stuff that weren't even the thing that you forgave them for, but you just gave them out of your heart. And, oh, yeah, remember in 1938 when I, I don't remember, but yeah, okay, I forgive you. Because that's what's on their heart.
Yeah.
Right, if you're taking notes, I want you to write. I'm not going to have time to go through the scripture, so I want you to write it down. I'm way over. Write down Deuteronomy 20, verses 1 to 4. That is a corroborating scripture, a confirming scripture to what I'm saying to you today. Deuteronomy 20, 1 to 4. Trust God. All the things that we talk, that we're talking about, the things that we're talking about. You know, sometimes you may be wondering, you know, I don't know if I could do that. I'm not ready for that yet. But my Bible tells me in Philippians chapter 4 that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. I can forgive. I can repent. I can be a person with love. I can have mercy. I can have good. I can. I can do it. Look at verse 6. So what are God's instructions to us? If we're gonna have this push forward and break out, what are God's instructions to us so that we can have the push forward break out? Verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper, same word, whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, for thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Am I telling you the truth?
Yes, you are.
Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to what is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Good success. Finally, once you cross this river, you now become a new river. Once you cross this river, you now become a conduit for the love of God.
Yes.
You become, Jesus said, he that believeth in me, he that whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
See, the temple.
Thank you, Jesus.
The temple is right here in your heart.
Yes, amen.
You put God on the throne of your heart, and Ezekiel 47 talks about the water that comes out of that temple.
Yeah.
Also, Revelation chapter 22, I think it is, talks about the river that flows from the throne of God. I believe it's all the same river. Because when you cross over this river, when you cross over your hesitancy and your rebellion and your resistance,
amen.
When you cross over,
amen.
All of these barriers and all of these obstacles that have stopped you from really moving into the land that God has called you to possess, when you cross over this river, you'll finally start to be a well of water to somebody else.
Amen. Thank you.
See, otherwise all we share is our misery.
Mm-hmm.
We just share our misery with others. But when you're delivered, you become a deliverer. Remember we talked a few months ago about following the pattern and becoming a pattern to somebody else?
Yes.
Remember?
Yes.
Some people don't know how to follow Jesus, but they can follow you. Mm-hmm. They can follow you until they get it.
Yes.
And then you step out of the way and turn them over. Yes. But they don't know how to follow Jesus. Yes. They don't know nothing about that. But they can follow you. Yes. And you lead them to the Lord.
Yes.
You disciple them.
Yes.
Spend time with them. Teaching them, training them the ways of God. Mm-hmm. You can do that. You become a river.
Yes. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
That's your desire today. The crossover?
Yes.
That's it. We've been walking. We've been walking over this water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, through it or under it or something. We've been.
Jesus.
And so today is January the 8th, 2012. And I want you to consider as if, you know, in the book of Joshua. Joshua, from this point on, you know, people sanctify themselves, and the priests bear the ark, and they go down into the water. The waters part, and they go down, and the priests stand in the bottom of the river. That is a powerful thing right there, because people that are ministers to the Word of God, they have to get into the very depths of situations. And stay there with the people until the people go up out of the situation. And you know, sometimes our priests, they want to stand up on the banks. Oh, you're down there? You're in trouble, hey? The Bible says that the priest went right down, all the way down. He stood. And then they came out. And they built a monument at the bottom of the river. This is the river we ran over. Built one up on top on the other side. And this is where we came out on the other side. And I'm saying January the 8th, 2012. Build a monument here. Build a monument right here.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Crossing over right now. We're not pushing it forward to some future time.
Mm-hmm.
Make them decisions right now.
Right now, right here, right now.
We're crossing over, right?
Amen.
You going? You going?
I'm going. I'm going. Amen.
Going?
I'm going.
You going?
I'm going.
You going?
Yes.
You in, Josiah? You want to obey mommy and daddy and big sis? As much as you can. Amen.
Amen.
You going?
Amen.
Going?
Amen.
Let's go together.
Amen.
Things of God are about decisions. We've made one today. We're going.
Amen.
Kind Father.
Yes,
Lord, we thank you for all you've done.
Thank you,
Jesus, for all that you've done. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your power, your presence, both here in this place and in every heart today, Lord God. We surrender. Forgive us for our past trespasses, our past hesitancy, rebellion, resistance, Lord God, to completely follow you. And today is a monument day. We place a fence around today and say, today we crossed over. 2012 will not be 2011. We will receive the Word of God and we will follow it with our whole heart. Lord, I pray for every decision made here today and present it to your throne, Lord God. I pray for the water of the river of life to flow swiftly, Lord God, to cleanse every heart, every rebellion, Lord God, every piece of unforgiveness. And Lord Jesus, we ask for your presence where there's hurt, Lord God, because there are places where there really has been some hurt, where there's been some emotional damage, where there's been hurt, Lord, where people are really hurt by the actions of significant others. And so, Lord, we just, Lord Jesus, we just ask if you heal those broken hearts, God. You not even heal them, but replace them, Lord God, with new hearts, Lord God. Give them a new heart, a heart that can forgive, a heart that can love, oh God. Take away the stony heart, Lord God, and the hurt and the pain and the damage, and give a heart that can forgive and love. Thank you for your work here today, Lord God. Thank you for your work here today. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We ask that you love through us, Lord God. Even those that don't deserve it. Even the unlovely, Lord God. We ask especially that you love us, love them through us. That your glory will be enlarged in the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen.